To Mehab? To Youhab? Don't get the Chuckle Brothers in to help with your well-being. Go to Joe Turner and invest in your health for a change. Put your oxygen mask on first with coaching, resources and supportive community at mehab.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to You Matter. Hello and welcome to this latest episode of You Matter and the latest in my series entitled Clinician And. And the and this time is retired. This session is with Siobhan Cowling, a retired physiotherapist, and we're going to have a conversation around the circumstances that led up to Siobhan making that decision, how she coped with the transition, and how she's managing and enjoying her retirement now. So if you are approaching, we think you might be approaching that kind of decision, or maybe some kind of career change, then I think there's lots in this episode that you'll find helpful. Or if you're early in your career, you may find it interesting to hear someone talking about the other end. And I think you'll hear a lot of things that are relevant to you at this early stage in your career. So hopefully something for everybody. Sit back, enjoy listening to Siobhan's story, and I will be back at the end. So hello and welcome to session 37 of You Matter, where I'm delighted to welcome physiotherapist Siobhan Cowling. And as you've heard from the introduction, the title of this session is Clinician and Retired. This is the next in a series I'm doing about being a clinician and something else. So welcome, Siobhan. Lovely to have you on You Matter.
Hi, Jo. Thanks for having me. And thanks for accepting my suggestion of this as a topic.
Not at all. No, it was a really interesting one to consider because, not maybe the most obvious subject, but through the course of this discussion, I know things are going to come out which will be really relevant to people who are retired, people who might be thinking about retiring, and people who are miles away from retiring. I know that the topics that we've talked about including are going to be really relevant across the board. So let me just give everybody a little bit of background as to your history before you retired. So Siobhan ended up working in private practice as an MSK clinician. That was her last job before she retired, but she'd had a really, really varied career. So I know that Siobhan wanted to be a physio from 14 years old, and she might tell you a little bit about the pathway from wanting that to actually becoming qualified. That might come up in our conversation. But during her long and illustrious career, Siobhan worked as a clinical educator. She did her MACP. So she had a teaching role. She says she worked in NHS and private practice, was made redundant at 40, and at that point tried to fulfill a dream of setting up a private practice, but became pregnant at 40. She might tell us a little bit more about what happened after that moment, if it's relevant to the conversation. But to cut a long story short, her last role was as a private practitioner in Wales, where she lives. And I met Siobhan really at an interesting point in her career where she was just starting to wonder what was going on for her and whether retirement might be on the horizon or something else. So, Siobhan, have I got most of that correct? Is there anything you want to correct in that?
Well, story? I think you've made me illustrious career. I mean,
I'll take it.
I've had a wonderful career, and the first thing I'll say is that how privileged and thankful I am to be in a job that I've loved. Mm. And my dad always said to me, it's a well-known saying, isn't it? If you do a job you love, you never work in your life. And isn't it a privilege to get paid to do something you love? So when did I start meeting you? I met you the year after COVID, didn't I?
Yes,
and I came across your article in Frontline, I think, and I thought, she sounds like me. her story sounds a bit like mine, and I identified to your curiosity of people, and I thought, oh, life coach, what's that? Oh, I'm getting a bit bored now, and I'm not really enjoying this anymore. And maybe there's another career for me, you know? And I wonder if I ring Joe, we might have a chat about what I could move on to, because I really wasn't enjoying it after COVID. And a lot of people felt like that, I think, and it gave us time to reflect, didn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, what was important to us? Were we really enjoying our life? And a few things, other things happened at that time. During COVID, it was a bit of a storm of events, really, because Ian, my husband, had been diagnosed with throat cancer, and he'd just undergone a load of treatment, which is brutal, and he'd lost 4 stone. And I
Wow.
thought, I'm going to lose him. Then he was diagnosed with another cancer, prostate cancer, and COVID hit, and then they couldn't do his operation. And we were sat there waiting for it. And I got through the furlough period really well and spent my time in the garden, walking, cycling, doing all the things I love, and thought, I really don't want to go back, because I'd been coping through all these things, and this had given me a time to pause, I think.
Yeah.
I just for the first time in my life think, is this really what I want to do for the rest of my life? And his diagnosis sort of made me think about my own mortality, really. And I thought, he's 12 years older than me. You know, am I ever going to get this retirement planned with him, that we'd, you know, we've got this idea that we were going to backpack around the world. I thought, is he going to be well enough? And we were out cycling one day, and I think I'd gone through some lots of uncomfortable decisions, uncomfortable conversations with you. I wasn't just unhappy with work. I think I was unhappy with a lot of areas of my life, and you know, it was sort of becoming clear that a lot of things had to change. And I didn't really know where to start, but I thought, I was out with Ian, and I think Ian thought life coaching meant, you're going to divorce me, aren't you?
I don't think anybody, I don't think I've coached anybody into divorce
No,
yet.
I know, but I think he was a bit suspicious. What's she talking to Joe about? And anyway, to cut a long story short, one day he said, you know, we can manage without your money. I was working 3 days a week, and he was in a position where, you know, he was still working a little bit. He'd retired, but he was still, he'd set up his own business, doing a little bit of training and enjoying it. And he said, look, I love my job, and I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. If you're not loving it, I was coming home, you know, some days in tears. He said, just quit, just retire. And I thought, I can't retire. You know, I've worked all my life for this, and I've been on all these courses. What, I can't just give it all up. And then I started fantasizing about retirement and thinking, oh, that's really fun. So off I thought, I think halfway through our coaching, I said, I've made a decision, Joe, I'm going to leave. And I think your eyes popped out of your head. And
Now I remember that session.
do you remember it? I'd been up in the mountains in the Clwydian, well, the hills, the Clwydian hills. And I think, you know, I'd done a lot of thinking, and I thought, yeah, I really am going to go.
And
What I was going to go into, I did not know, but I did not call myself retired at that point. I thought, I'm just going to have a little pause again and wait and see what happens.
I remember that phrase, the little pause, and how helful that was to you at the time. It sort of felt like a transition phrase rather than retired.
Definitely. And I think I remember feeling quite nervous about it. And I remember you saying about the little shoots in the ground, and you don't know that they're there, or the little seeds are there, you know, to start dreaming or thinking about what it is you really want. You might not know what it is now. And that whole idea of uncertainty, and it's quite a difficult thing to sit with, isn't it?
Yes, and particularly after a career of theoretical certainty. I know there's not actually as much as we like to think, but yeah, after, do you think it might be, those feelings might be even stronger after a career that basically involves trying to know the answers to things?
Yeah, I think there's two types of people that, you know, that I've come across that with retirement, you know, you've got the people that couldn't wait to give up their job, hated it, hated their jobs, and that retirement's fantastic. I'm out on the golf club, you know, I'm in the golf every day and I could do what I want and every day is a holiday and all of this. But, and then you get other people that I think really struggle to let go of that identity and that status, I think. You know, especially I had loved my job. So, and I just thought, what do I do with all this knowledge? You know, do I just bin it, delete it? What do I do with the books? Am I going to go back? What do I do with my membership? Do I carry on paying my insurance? Will I go back? And it was all a bit, shall I do another profession in physio or shall I do something completely different? And I didn't feel quite done yet, you know, and I was a bit out of sorts at that point, but kind of relieved at the same time to have made a decision and to get rid of that responsibility of doing something I wasn't enjoying at that time, because it had changed.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up a little bit actually before we go too far into the retirement side of it. You'd said you were at a point where you really weren't enjoying work, and you know, I'm sure perhaps that doesn't need so much explanation for people being post-COVID, but do you remember the specifics as to, you know, what was involved in those days where you came home upset and really fed up with your job?
Well, I think I coped well. I adjusted to the transition of, you know, the whole Zoom talks and assessing whether someone was safe to come in, and I coped with the transition. It was all a bit frantic, wasn't it? No one knew what they were doing, but when they started coming back and we were still wearing visors and masks, and my eyesight was failing, my memory was going, I was probably hitting the menopause at the same time. I would probably come through the menopause. And I just remember thinking, the screen, you know, everything was steaming up. I couldn't read anything. Notes weren't there. I was having to rely on my memory. A few things, lots of things were going wrong. I was in a satellite clinic and notes weren't there for patients, and I was winging it a lot of the time, and feeling like I wasn't being a very good professional, thinking, oh, what's going to go wrong today? You know, you can cope with a few mistakes and a few failures, but I think I remember the day when I saw a patient with a mask on and said, come on through, you know, what is it? You know, started the assessment, what's the problem? You know, what can we do for you today? And why are you here? And she said, you saw me last week. And I thought, oh, did I? You know, I was just in a bit of a frantic whirl where notes weren't there, and I was trying to get a bit more support, and then this not touching patients. You know, we'd come from an era where we spent half our life massaging patients, each other, didn't we? In our course,
in our training, yes.
You remember those days where we, and you know, it was a very hands-on environment I was in the team. You know, we all had our different expertise, and I didn't mind, you know, being known as the physio that seemed to have those patients that wanted to stay a bit longer, or others couldn't sort out and they needed a bit more TLC, or, you know, I was always known for patients always cry with Siobhan, you know. And I started to feel a little bit more like a psychologist, but didn't have the time for the patients. That was the other thing. But it was all getting a bit, it was all going through that transition of, well, I don't know if I like where physio is going. I want to hang on to that bit. And I don't know if I want to do any more courses because, you know, I seem to have done all the courses. I kept looking at new things that I could do. I think I just got a bit stuck.
I remember actually, as you're talking, it's reminded me of when my mum retired from physio, and she retired at 50. And
did she?
Yeah, she did.
That makes me feel better.
You're just I'm sorry if I didn't share that. But I distinctly remember her saying to me that it felt then like physio was going through a shift. And I, you know, I can't honestly say what shift we were going through then, but I remember her saying, oh, you know, there's a cycle where the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater, and I've done it two or three times already, and I just don't feel like I've got the energy to do it again. You're nodding away there. It sounds like maybe that chimes a little bit. It sounds like for you a combination of some personal circumstances and that massive external circumstance of post-COVID and how that... And do you think burnout was talked about a lot then, obviously? Do you think you had any...
Very much so. Very much so. And I hadn't heard of that word until we discussed it, and I realised that I'd lost my... I had compassion fatigue, I think, because I just didn't... You know, I'd gone through... Ian's health issues, and I've got my own gammy knee as well, and people were coming in for knee replacements with knees a lot less symptomatic than mine, I thought, and I was thinking, you know, and there's me bending down on the orthopaedic wards trying to get them better. It's like, you need a new knee replacement. Did you know a good surgeon? And I was thinking, oh yeah, I'm even feeling a bit old for this. I was tired. And I remember a couple of nurses were leaving the ward, and they were going down to work in the hospice, and I was jealous. I thought, no, I want to go and work in the hospice. That's where my calling is now. I want to go and work. It sounds awful, doesn't it? But I wanted to work with people with bigger problems than a sore calf that they couldn't do their marathon because of. I'd lost that, you know, compassion for that sort
and
of
maybe thing. Bigger problems than the ones you were experiencing yourself.
Yeah, and I, you know, towards the end I had some lovely patients, and I still remember my lovely patients that were going through similar feelings to me, and it was almost like we were all sort of coaching each other.
Right.
We were all, it was a two-way thing, you know. We were, I was giving them longer, I was keeping those patients for the end of the day because I knew they needed longer. And a few of them had decided to go early in their mid-50s, and I thought, you know, this is me. I want to
I mean, they'd retired from their, whatever their profession was.
And they were bankers, and they had retirement courses, and you know, all the retirement courses seem to be focused on financial issues and everything like that, and not a lot about, you know, the emotional side of it, really.
That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I've never actually even heard of the concept of a retirement course, but can see how useful that would be, and it's one of the biggest transitions you're ever going to have, isn't it?
But actually, just 10 minutes before we went online, I thought, I'll Google it, because, you know, one of the, we'll come on to this in a minute, I nearly bottled out of doing this last night, actually. I said to you, and I'm going to tell Joe I can't do this, because I'm not an expert in anything. And she has all these experts on, and what am I an expert on? I'm an expert in having fun now, you know. What's a
which
life?
We do want to hear about in a minute.
And then I Googled it, and, you know, it's up there in the top 10 life events of transitions in life.
Yeah. Yeah,
And
this
I
is
didn't
fascinating.
realize this, you know, when I first started, I didn't realize it was going to be quite challenging.
Yeah, well, you, I mean, you've mentioned not loss of knowledge, but you know, what do I do with knowledge? You've mentioned loss of identity. Do you, I mean, let's talk about that loss of identity. What did that mean for you at that point where you were kind of in the woods, having your little pause, not sure whether this was a permanent thing or you were going back in? What was it about identity that was playing out in your mind then?
I was worried about losing all the knowledge, and you know, I was hanging on to it. So I was, you know, I was listening to lots of podcasts, I was keeping up, I was still living in that past life, I think. And it wasn't, I didn't think I was worried about status and kudos and things like that. I was quite blasé about that. I thought, oh, you know, I'm quite happy to be retired, and it's Ian the one that wants to carry on working, not me, you know. And but actually, it's quite hard to say you're retired at 58, I think. Well, 56 I was then, because I'm 58 now. So and you know, some people would say, oh, you're a lady of leisure now, are you? What do you do with all your time? And so you'd start to think, oh, I'm a bit lazy. Oh, you're a kept woman now, are you? You know, all these kind of some negative attitudes, and your own little stories that you play in your head. You know, like I'm not valuable to society anymore because I don't earn anything. And even in the paper last week, it was like, how do we get these over 50s back to work to improve the economy? You know. So you sort of have this guilt, oh, I've given up work too early. And then there's a sort of sadness about, well, I've spent all this time acquiring all this knowledge, and I've just about got there, and I've kind of got the hang of this now, and I'm pretty good at it. And now I'm retiring. So it's sort of the parody of it all, isn't it? You know, you start off all enthusiastic, and you've got no skills and knowledge, and then at the end of your career, you've got it all and
And that's the
jump out the
point.
other side.
So, I mean, all of that makes total sense, and I'm nodding away here because, you know, I completely understand how all of those feelings would come about. And to an extent, I witnessed you go through that tussle. So, how did you get over some of those things? How did you get to the great place that I know you're at now, which we'll talk about more in a minute, but how did those things start to get resolved in your mind?
Well, I think that initially, you see, the initial response is a honeymoon phase. You go, it's a bit like a marriage, really. You sort of have this honeymoon phase, and you go through this, wow, I've got all this free time, and I can do whatever I want. You know,
And get up at 10 o'clock in the morning.
you know, I can do whatever I dare to dream now, you know. Let's pick a course at the, you know, local college, and let's choose something to go and volunteer at, and let's join all these clubs. And before you know it, you're busying yourself so much, you know, that you need to sort of take a step back again and think, hang on a minute, didn't I walk away from this because I wanted my life to be simpler? But the initial one of the things that really helped and has really helped me is having these neighbours two doors away. I started cycling with Jenny during lockdown, and she was 72, and she was a retired school teacher, and she's been retired for 30 years now.
So she's a pro.
She's a pro. And I said, Jenny, how do you cope? And she said, oh, it's fantastic. You just have fun. You've only got one life, Siobhan. Just enjoy it and have fun and allow yourself to have fun. And I think that sort of message was, you know, needed because, you know, we're in this work ethic. Oh, we've got to be doing something useful all the time. And she was great because she said, right, first thing you need to do is have a transition from that life to this life. So we're going on a tour. We're going on a bike tour. So we went, we did the Hadrian's Way and a couple of other days, and we crossed Britain on our bikes. And I just remember that week just feeling the lightest I've felt
So this is something
in a
Jenny
long time.
consciously took you on as a transition exercise
Yeah.
to move you. Oh, wow.
She was incredible, and I don't think she realizes how incredible she was. Because she on that tour, that was about literally 3 weeks after I gave up work.
Right.
And I think this is quite common actually when I've spoken to people. People do something quite big.
Okay.
I thought I was being quite unique at the time, but lots of people do much more adventurous things than that. But to me, that was a massive, massive adventure. And
Yeah.
I hadn't really done anything like that. So I'm talking to her, listening to all her adventures, it kind of rubbed off on me as well a little bit.
It sounds like an extensive version of a tool we would have talked about in coaching, the bridging ritual,
Right.
the thing that is there to separate. You sometimes talk about separating work from home whilst you're still working, but that sounds like a sort of advanced version or extended version of the bridging ritual.
Yeah.
So, in that, did you say it was a week when you were cycling?
I think we were away for 5 days or something, and
So,
yeah.
what started to shift for you in that week? Do you remember any kind of aha moments or particular thoughts that you went through?
I
What
just
shifted?
remember thinking, oh, this is what I want to do now. I want to do more of this. I want more of this in my life. And I don't know whether it was necessarily the cycling or the feeling. But we talked to some old blokes on that ride, and one thing left to, led to another. They were, oh, you must do the Hebridean Way, and that's a really good bike ride. And so I said to Jen, I'm going to do that. We're going to do that. That's going to be our next ride. And we did that the following April, I think, or May, with two of her friends, and the four of us got blown up the Hebrides on our bikes. And
Yeah,
again,
my
just had a wonderful time with another couple that were brilliant at doing this retirement lark.
sounds like you had some really good role models, and I know because you're delighted that you've stayed in MeHub and you're still involved in the conversations with us therapists on that in that community. So I know from following you there that your activities have been very much outdoors. That's been a large part of your
Yeah.
movement into retirement, hasn't it? Lots of exercise and lots and lots and lots of outdoor stuff.
Yeah, I think I've heard you say about you said it earlier on this week about coming home, and sometimes you've got to go back to when you were a child, haven't you? And what you loved doing as a child. And
Yes.
I was never in. From the age of three, I was outdoors. And I get a bit jittery now if I'm inside. My husband will laugh and he'll say, "We need to get you out, don't we? Or you need to go out because
Going
I'm
to air
not."
you.
Yeah, I'm like a little dog that needs exercise, but I'm not, supremely fit or anything. I'm fitter now than I've ever been. But while I was dreaming, when I was sometimes in that last 3 months of my physio, because I handed in my notice and thought, I'll give him 3 months' notice. I didn't need to, but that was a mistake. I should have just gone, because those 3 months dragged. But I was thinking, I want to be a postman. That's what I want to be. I want to be a walking postman, postperson,
Yes.
or work in a garden centre, or I just wanted to be working outdoors.
Yeah. It is interesting, isn't it? How many of us, well, not how many of us, so many of us must have gone into physio through a love of sport and activity and movement. And if we're lucky, our job involves more of that than for most people, certainly more than an office job. But probably not really enough for the essence of that 7-year-old that just couldn't stay indoors and was always active. I completely identify with that persona.
I love that Jack's got this, what's it called, the trundle.
Timperley Trundle.
I thought, oh, I could ring Kev, my old boss, and say, can I come back and do something like that?
Is that something that's still in your mind?
Well, he said the door's always open, Siobhan. You know you can come back. And I've still got my uniforms all neatly. No, I think actually about 2 months ago, I threw out my uniforms.
Did you?
Only just.
And
So, you know, I've been hanging on to them a little bit.
but like when
But
you've had children and the pram and stuff are in the loft and there's a room
yeah,
that you've
I
got to
am a bit.
decide to.
Yeah, and I've got my little badge and my jewellery box, you know, very. Very proud of it. But yeah.
So that leads us quite nicely into a question around, is there anything you miss? I mean, is it with some sort of hindsight now and objectivity and knowing you don't have to do it, is there anything that you really miss from those days of being a physio?
I think I miss problem solving, and I miss the sort of, you know, we're very privileged. We meet new people all the time, don't we? And we don't realize how we become so skilled at just talking to people. So sometimes I can go quite a long time without having that sort of adult conversation. And I miss the, you know, getting deep with people. Because I did get deep with my patients, and I miss the structure. Sometimes I miss the Friday night feeling, you know, where you sort of think, oh, I've right, work's gone, let's party. And that feeling of that sort of difference between work and holiday. Because every day is a bit of a holiday now, which is lovely, but sometimes I miss that structure. But I've managed to put that structure back in my life. You know, you've got to have a little bit of a structure.
Tell us about that. Tell us about the structure now.
Well, on a Tuesday, I go walking with a load of retired people, which is lovely. And on a Saturday, I now go out with the Breeze Ladies on my bike. I don't know whether you've come across the
Breathe. No.
Breeze. It's so if anyone out there wants to get back into cycling and you're a lady, a girl, sorry lads, it's really British cycling and the lottery funding about. So many years ago, I realized that women didn't get out on their bikes as much as men. So it's just a free scheme where you can go online and just find out where your rides are in your area. And there's these leaders, they call them Breeze Champions, and it's very active in this area. So I've recently found that. I think I've been doing that for about 2 or 3 months now, and I love that because they all seem to be my age and younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the reason they're on the weekend is because most of them are still working. But you know, the walking group is definitely people. I'm on the lower end of the age.
Different spectrum.
Yeah.
So there's these touch points in your week. What about, an average day? Do you still need to look at keeping some kind of structure into each day, or are you happy for that to be more fluid and flexible?
I've still got kids at home, so well, I've got a 17-year-old and a 24-year-old at home. So well, he's 24 this year. So there is a little bit of structure around, you know, the meals and in the morning, you know, I get up at the same time. I'm an early bird, you know, do Wordle, feed the birds, make the bed, do the porridge.
So it's my idea of getting up at 10 o'clock. It doesn't happen.
No, I still go to bed early and get up early.
Okay.
I don't like if I look at too far ahead in the week and think I've got nothing planned, I get a little bit jittery. So I start to plan in my head what I'm going to do. Look at the weather. That's beautiful. That's the great thing about being retired.
You get to do things in the rain.
And then, I want that. I love that freedom of being able to choose. So there's good bits and bad bits, but you can have too much freedom and you feel a little bit rudderless sometimes. But then you sort of wake up and think, aren't I lucky? And flipping heck, aren't I lucky? Yeah. So I took myself off to Anglesey after Christmas, just on my own, and started doing some solo walking. And I'm going around Anglesey. And then on rainy days, you've got to have a little bit of a mix between your physical active outside hobbies and, some things to do on those rainy days or when you're not feeling it. So I'm doing a lot more reading than I've ever done, podcasts, doing my art, doing picked up a little bit of art. But sometimes, I still think, oh, is that it? I'm still a bit too, I still feel a bit too young.
I was going to ask you, Siobhan, whether I was going to ask you about ambition, and whether that's something that is still there. Have you got ambitions for your retirement, or maybe you've happily let go of the concept of ambition? How does ambition or not sit with you now?
I think I've let go of having too many plans because, the plan was that Ian was going to retire at 65. I was going to go back full time. Perhaps before we had Steffi, the plan was Andy was going to leave home and go to university at 18, and we were going to go around the world. And you can have all these plans, but that, things
Life
take,
happens.
life takes different turns, and you have to sort of go with it and adapt, don't you? And just think, oh well, that's not going to happen now. But we are still, our biggest thing, Ian and I, is that we love travel. So we're definitely going to go back to New Zealand
Fantastic.
and do a lot more traveling in New Zealand because we got married in New Zealand 30 years ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so hopefully, you just don't know, do you? If our health is up to it, we want to do that. But no, I don't have any ambitions in terms of I want that big project. I've got to have that big project. I mean, I just love my gardening, and that's enough.
It sounds like you've done a lot of readjustment. Well, like you say, life happens and you have to readjust, don't you? And I think that's a thing you learn as you get older. And if you're a parent, kids make you readjust what you thought your plans were for them or how you thought their life might work out. And it sounds like you've come to a really good place with that of knowing that you can't control it, I guess.
I mean, I've let go of this idea that, this is it as well, because, sometimes you panic and think, is this it? Is this going to be my life? Because I know it's not, because the more people you meet, the more, groups you join, the more opportunities that, like this, for instance, who would have thought, 2 weeks ago I was going to be doing this? So I've learned to say yes a bit more and try and go with things and take opportunities as they come along and not be so scared,
I love that that's what you found in retirement. That's really great to hear.
Well, one of the things that happened, I remember it quite distinctly, actually. I was at badminton. I played badminton, and I was at the club. And one day, I just breezed in, and I was just really silly, And I just thought, oh, I realised that I've become a little bit more silly. And I don't have to have this professional, I'm a physio. I don't know why, because everyone at badminton used to sort of come up to me and say, "Oh, I've got this tennis elbow, and I've got this, and I've got that. What do you think, Siobhan?" But they don't do that anymore.
That's a really interesting reflection. We do. You're reminding me of I've just turned 50, as a lot of people listening to this will know, but I went on and on and on about it. But one of my best friends gave me a card, a birthday card, and she wrote in it, she made a pie chart, things I like about Jo. And the biggest section was, everyone thinks she's really sensible, and she really isn't. But you're right, we do have this kind of, or feel this need. Or maybe just the job identity has this kind of seriousness about it, doesn't it? Healthcare in general, I mean.
Definitely. And my friend, my probably my best friend actually, she was a policewoman, and she got quite high up in the ranks, and they have to retire quite early, and she had to make that adjustment at 50. And I remember her feeling, oh, I can let go of it now, because I'm no longer in the force.
And I think maybe you start to think you're more sensible than you actually are because you spend a lot of time having to be very sensible. Yeah, I haven't really thought about that. Oh, I love that. So is there any possibility you're ever going back into physio? You say you're open to all things. Is that door firmly shut, or is that one of the things that might happen that you don't know about yet?
I think it's unknown. I think we're lucky that we've got 5 years. I don't know how easy it would be to get back in terms of have you kept up and everything, but
When you say you've got 5 years, in case people don't know, what do you mean by that?
when I rang up the CSP and the HCBC people when I retired, I said, how long have I got if I want to go back? And I think it's 5 years. It's not like medicine where you've only got 1 year.
Is that right?
Apparently, I might have got that wrong, so please correct me, anyone, if I have got that wrong. But I don't know is the answer. I know I've thrown a lot of my course notes out, and I've thrown my uniforms
I was
out,
going to
and
say you'd have to buy a new uniform.
but that there might be, I don't know, there might be an opportunity for me. And I was frantically thinking I've got to be doing something, and I've got to get, this initial frantic phase. I went back to the university, and I remember talking to them and saying, "Oh, I'm retired. Is there anything?" And I didn't say, "Is there anything here for me?" But the head of department, who I know so well, she said, "Oh, there's always a job here. You can be a mentor for the clinical students." And then every time someone offers me something, I just think, "No, I don't want to give up my freedom. I've decided I'm going on this path now, and I'm going to stick to it." So the job that I want, I don't think exists, because I do still want that freedom. But I love the way that Ian's carved out his life for himself, because he's carved it out beautifully. He just works when he wants, and then he's got all this time when he wants. It's really nice.
I was listening to, I'm mildly obsessed with the Gabby Logan podcast at the moment, and one of her episodes is called The Midpoint, so quite relevant to women of our age. She was talking to this woman was a financial expert. She might have been an accountant, I think she probably was, but she was talking about retirement and how many people won't be able, or maybe thinking I won't be able to retire for financial reasons. And I've thought that, gosh, you hear a lot of conversation, don't you? Oh, we're the generation that will never be able to retire unless circumstances are particular in the way that we're able to. And I was sort of occasionally thinking that and feeling a bit depressed about it. And actually, both my parents retired at 50, and as I was coming up to in my late 40s, I was thinking, crikey, even the idea that I could retire now or in the next 10 years just seems ludicrous. And Gabby Logan asked this lady about this concept, what if we are the generation that never retire? And she was very straight talking, this woman. She said, yeah, for a lot of people that will be true. And that was a bit like, oh God. And she said, but that doesn't mean you're going to do what you're doing now for the next 20 years. COVID taught us we can pivot. And I know lots of people really hate that word now. But she was basically saying, yes, that might well be true for you, but you can change, but you can be flexible. And for me, actually, that felt like a weight suddenly off my shoulders, partly because I'm someone that has always maneuvered my career according to what I personally want to do in my life at that time. And so it isn't a scary concept to me to change things around. And I think the weight off was just like, yeah, just carry on doing what you've always done. See what feels good at the time and what works for you. And, like you're saying with Ian, he's clearly not working full time, and no one's saying that we're going to have to work full time forever. He's picking the bits that he likes, which has always been a guiding principle for me. Like, if I'm not enjoying a part of my job, ditch that and fill it with something else. And that just felt actually really liberating to just go, yeah, okay, if that's the case that I can't retire, but the option is to keep reinventing and changing things around, then I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah, I think it's about being passionate, isn't it, and loving what you do. And an awful lot of people are still working into their 90s, aren't they? Because they love it. And if you're loving it, keep doing it. And if you're not loving it, do something else. Or find, you're in charge of your own life, as you said, aren't you? At
Yes.
some point, I mean, I'm very aware as well that, physios that will be listening to this now who are maybe approaching that sort of thinking phase, you've got this sort of trap in a way because you want to max out your pension, and it is tricky. I don't know how to answer that really,
I
because
think you nailed it then, Siobhan, with that statement that you're in charge of your life. I think, if you can make the mental transition that you have choices rather than this thing is being done to you, either that you're being forced to retire or that you will never retire. I think making that mindset shift between this is something being imposed on me to I can choose how to make this work for me. I think that's really, really powerful.
I mean, I've got another friend who's a psychologist, and he, all these different factors play into our head about when we want to retire. And his mum died, tragically very young at 62, and he just had it in his head, well, I'm not going to, reach that grand old age, and I'm going to retire at 50. And so he organized his life. He always lived frugally, and put money away, and still lives on very little. You can, well, it's not always easy, but a lot of the things I do are free. I don't have big extravagant tastes in life. I don't, but I the travel obviously is going to cost a lot of money. We'll start saving for that.
But a
But
lot of what you do is based on that beautiful countryside in Wales that is on your doorstep, isn't it?
yeah, sometimes you don't need to go to these faraway lands to feel that magic, do you? If you can find it in simple things, that's what I'm learning. That's what I'm learning.
Yes, the joy of simple things.
So when are you going to retire, Jess?
Yeah, really good question. And I think, based on what I've just said, that question doesn't scare me anymore. If you'd asked me a couple of years ago, I might have grumpily said never, or I might have, been frantically trying to manipulate things so that I knew exactly when it was going to be and how it was going to look. But I love what you're saying about a lot of it is getting comfortable with not knowing how things are going to look, but seeing that as not knowing what great opportunities are around the corner, who you're going to meet next and what they're going to introduce you to. I really loved watching you go through this process, and I love the fact that you're still involved in MeHub. And I just before we came on air, I was saying to you, wasn't I, that I get quite a lot of messages from retired physios who would like to do courses or retreats or would like to contribute an opinion to something. And quite often they'll say, is it okay because I'm retired? And I, you know, I'm sad that they feel the need to ask that question, because for me, yeah, of course it is. And I think the learning that you get when you've got some distance from the profession is so valuable to those of us still in it.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing is, you know, going back to identity, when you have to sort of answer the question, who are you? What do you do? You know, occupation, and you have to fill that in. I was at the doctor's the other day, and I think they said, oh, what do you do? And I found myself saying, I used to be a physio, instead of I'm a physio, because you're still a physio, aren't you? You still got that.
Yeah.
Just because you're not practicing it and you're not doing it, you've still got that knowledge, you've still got that training, you've still got that profession. And if it's relevant to say I'm a physio, I mean, it's quite useful to say it in certain situations, because people change, actually. It's useful in a medical setting to say it. I didn't ever used to tell people if I was in you know, hospital or anything. I used to sort of keep it quite quiet.
When you were working?
Yeah. You know, I want to know everything. I don't want them to assume I know everything. But now I find, you know, I'll say it, and you'll see professionals change completely. The language changes.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the other thing is also the skill set, or not the skill set, the set of personality traits that made us ideal to be a physio were there before we became a physio, and probably could have been applied to many other careers as well. But that doesn't leave you, does it? Just because you're not going to work as a physio.
And you do become that advocate, you know, for sort of, in your friend circle, if someone's going through something, you're that friend that'll be there, or you're the friend that'll offer that practical help, or you know, that's nice. That's nice to still use little elements of that, those traits.
We're often the pragmatists, aren't we? And the ones that will roll their sleeves up. And
but I was never an organizer, and I never went for management leadership roles or anything like that. I always shied away from those sort of roles because I never felt that was where I wanted to go or I was interested in. You know, I was out with the Breeze ladies the other day, and this lady was, oh, you used to be a physio. Oh, well, why don't you train to be a Breeze champion? You should train to be a Breeze champion. I said, if I did it, everyone would be all at different locations, and it would be, that's a chaos. I can't use a computer and this, that, and the other. And she said, don't you like organizing? And I said, no, I don't.
Interesting. That's her take on what a physio would want to do.
It's actually easy to. You know, she said, well, you could be the assistant champion. And I said, yeah, that'd be me. I can help someone, you know, I'll be at the back and I'll be the second in command.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I can see what she means. And I can also see that it's nice. I think I've always felt that, you know, from when I qualified, introducing yourself at a party or, you know, whatever, as a physio, usually elicits a smile, doesn't it? There's something about the kind of personality that people assume you are because you're a physio that seems quite a generally positively received thing.
I think
nice
everyone
thing.
Knows what we do, and most people sort of have positive experiences with physios, don't they?
Yeah, it's important for us to remember that.
But I mean, I, you know, the persona, we're all different, but I definitely went into the profession because I wanted to be happy. And I remember being at this careers event, and the only person that was standing and looking enthusiastic about their job was the physio.
Really?
My dad at 14, and I went, I want to be like her. She was brimming with passion and energy, and you know, that's, I suppose, you know, that's the reputation that we've got, isn't it?
Like I say, we do well to remember that at the moment when we're, you know, sometimes struggling a little bit with who we think we are in the world and what we do for people. I think it's important to remember the essence of who we are as a collective profession.
And we do it with love, and that we should remember that as well.
Absolutely. So I want to finish with a very difficult question. Maybe we'll need to thrash it out together. So I've just been thinking about what you just said about how you, when you're in the doctor's waiting room, and rightly or wrongly, I was thinking, okay, the thing she doesn't want to write is retired physiotherapist. And the word retired, we should have looked up the definition, like the Oxford Dictionary definition before this podcast. But to me, for something to be retired, like you retire something, don't you? It's like somebody else retires a horse, or it's like something that is imposed on somebody to be retired. Whereas actually what we've been talking about is choice and empowerment and decision making for yourself. So it strikes me that it isn't the right word if we're trying to have positive feelings about the fact that it is a choice. So I think we need a new word. And off the top of my head, I can't think of one. Can you think of one?
No, I can't think of one. I don't know. I have to go away and think about that, Jo.
We need the retirement version of consciously uncoupled. Yeah. You know, the Gwyneth Paltrow divorce thing. She didn't want to say divorce, did she? Consciously.
Maybe that should be your next competition.
Yeah, another word for retired. Okay, well, let's throw it out there now to people listening to this podcast that we need another word or phrase for retired.
I don't know. I'm not receiving a pension, and I'm 58. I suppose it's that same. I don't know. It's the same feeling. Loads of my friends never worked.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have a problem with it. So, I don't know.
There you go. It's a good idea. Yes. I'll think of a prize. We'll have a competition for a new phrase for retired. Is there anything else you would like to say about retirement, being a physio? Any tip, one tip you would like to leave people with if they're in any kind of quandary about, you know, perhaps moving towards finishing this career or changing the career? Any last pearls of wisdom?
I would say don't rush into a new job, and don't rush into voluntary work, and you know, don't fill your time too, because your time, don't panic and think I've got to fill my time. Just let it happen. Give yourself time, give yourself permission, let go a bit, and find out where the gaps are. And give yourself, and that'll vary. You know, some people will only need a couple of months in that, you know, phase, and then they'll work it out. And then other people, you know, a lot of people said to me, give yourself 2 years. An awful lot of people I spoke to said, give yourself 2 years, and allow yourself to adjust. You know, it's a transition phase, and you just need a little bit of adjustment time. And if you're married, yeah, that's another whole heap of challenges that we didn't cover. You know, remember that you need three lives. You need your life, they need their life, and you need something together.
Well, there's a massive pearl of wisdom just at the end there.
Yeah.
So don't panic. Look for the gaps. Make a conscious transition. I love your bike ride idea. Give yourself time, and if you're married, or maybe even if you're not, I think what you're talking about is almost see the extra space that is retirement, and give that its due.
Yeah, let go. Let go a little bit and allow yourself to slow down.
Thank you so much, Siobhan. Thank you so much for agreeing to be the guest, and thank you so much for giving me such an amazing vision into what retirement could look like.
Well, I'm a good few years older than you, so when you do retire, you can come and find me because I'll have my e-bike by then and we'll go off on that tour.
Oh, I'd love that. Yes, my e-bike feels like my first dabbling into what retirement could look like. Yeah, no, I would love to join you on some of your bike rides, your jaunts, your are you doing the sailing? Actually, I didn't ask you that. I know sailing was at one point part of the plan.
Sailing was my big 50 thing. So when I was 50, I did that. I did my competent crew course with a girls for sail company, another girls only thing. And then I met Jeff and we sailed for 5 years. We raced a flying 15. Again, he always used to say, Siobhan, do you want to learn to be a skipper? No, I'm fine.
Not
I'm
your
just
thing.
fine being the crew. Loved it, loved it, loved it. But again, COVID killed that. And Jeff sold his boat.
Right, so
I
not
just
sailing.
replaced that with walking, I think, and more cycling. Just one door closes, another door opens, doesn't it?
I think that's been the message of your what you've been talking about today. All right, well, the next thing I look forward to seeing are your photos from New Zealand.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks for
Oh,
having me.
it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming. And thanks for being on MeHub and everything you contribute to that.
Yeah, and I'll carry on doing these fantastic podcasts as well because they're great. They're great whether you're retired, whether you're just starting out.
Well,
Love
I'm
them.
really pleased to hear that it has relevance across the board.
Yeah.
Thank you, Siobhan. You
Thanks,
take
Jane.
care.
And you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed listening to Siobhan's story. I certainly enjoyed talking to her, and it helped me pick apart actually some of the thoughts which had not been consciously going through my head, but certainly had been there on a subconscious level, and getting a little bit of clarity about where I feel I'm at in my career and how I might manage the future transition, what that might look like. I hope perhaps you've been through a similar process, or maybe you just enjoyed the conversation. So, if you were listening through to the end, you'll have heard us issue a call for a new word for retirement. So, if you can think of something that sounds more like what you choose to do rather than something that has been imposed on you for that period of time where you choose to stop working or choose to do something else, then let us know. It'd be great to reclaim that, not that word, but reclaim that process with a new word. So, whether you are right at the start of your career, whether you're in the middle and transitioning, whether you think you might be nearing the end and moving on to retirement or whatever we're going to call it, then remember what Siobhan said. Give yourself time to think, look for the gaps, don't panic, breathe, because you matter.
Here at Physio Matters, we think physio matters. Become a member today and access the biggest MSK library on the planet. Access at home, work, or in the gym to make sure your CPD conditioning is elite. physio-matters.com. More content than will fit on a deadlift bar.